Hello, welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio. Thank you for tuning in. We appreciate you hanging out with us for the afternoon, that's for sure. And folks, just want to remind you, go to our website, www.theunionedge.com. Download the free app for your iPhone or your Android. You can listen to this program live anywhere in the world. You can listen to podcasts. And if you're from Michigan, please use that app to send a picture of your favorite pothole to us. We're going to send it to Governor Snyder. I'm just saying, you know, maybe the governor can use the pictures to fill the potholes. I don't know. But in any case, joining us now by phone, we've got Bill Dugan, president of the National Federation of Federal Employees. Bill, welcome back.
Thank you for having me, Charles.
Bill, it's always a pleasure. We appreciate it. First of all, just want to ask, you know, you got a lot of guys and gals out in California taking care of those fires. How's everything going?
We have a lot of our members, and you know, there are a lot of firefighters totally engaged out in the West, particularly in California. Our guys are doing okay. I mean, you know, the conditions are really tough out there. They've got an extended drought, so all the fuels are really dry, and
right.
We're seeing like some really crazy fire behavior, and these fires are really like growing very quickly. So everybody's kind of, you know, on heightened safety alert and having to be even more vigilant than they normally would.
Absolutely.
With the conditions there.
Bill, it's my understanding this is the first year where the ocean side of the highway is actually having fire issues too. You know, that's pretty striking.
Yeah, I mean, you in the past you'd see that once in a while where it would actually you might have like a little bit of fire cross over the road and burn down to the ocean. But, yeah, we're seeing it more and more. Again, you know, it's just everything is just so dry out there. They just have gone so long without the rain. I think, you know, they're all hoping that this El Nino event that is being talked about in the weather communities, if that happens, that should start to alleviate the drought potentially with increased rain later this fall. But until that happens or if that happens, these guys are in fire season, you know, 24/7, 365.
Yeah, well, our hearts go out to everybody out there. Be careful. And, you know, that's what good training is all about. So in any case, Bill, what else are you guys up to with the National Federation of Federal Employees?
Well, I wanted to talk a little bit about the OPM data breach. You know, I've noticed, and probably you have, and the listeners probably have too, that it's kind of off the front page now, but you know, even though the media is not, you know, picking it up as a lead story much anymore, I just want to make the point that, you know, our members, just because it's not in the news, that doesn't mean that our members are still not affected and still not very worried and anxious about this thing.
Right.
You know, one of the things that we did was we were one of the labor organizations that sent a letter to the president expressing our frustrations over this whole thing and the way that it was handled. And we made a series of recommendations that the president could take in the wake of the data breach, one of which was to offer lifetime credit monitoring for all federal employees affected by this and extending that service also to spouses and children in the case where their personal identifiable information may have been compromised in the second data breach where security clearance information was taken. We also called for increasing the loss coverage for insurance purposes for identity theft and that sort of thing. And the good news is that, you know, that our call for the lifetime credit monitoring got picked up by our allies in the Senate from Virginia and Maryland, and they introduced a bill in the Senate called the Recover Act, and it's Senate Bill 1746. It calls for expanded identity theft coverage for federal workers and contractors and other individuals affected by the OPM data breach, including lifetime identity theft coverage and a minimum of $5 million of identity theft insurance. So I think that's a good thing. That got the ball rolling last week. A Senate panel also approved a measure spearheaded by ranking committee member Barbara Mikulski from Maryland that would give former and and current federal employees and contractors affected by the hack increased protection services. And that amendment was attached to the fiscal 2016 financial services and general government spending bill. So you know, we're not sure whether that's going to, you know, whether that's going to go into effect or not, because as we all know, appropriations bills are pretty slow moving in the Senate right now. And depending on, you know, what happens with the Senate and House getting together, whether they're going to be able to reconcile their two spending bills, or whether we're going to end up with like a continuing resolution, that's going to really dictate, you know, whether this language is going to, you know, be passed or not. But in the meantime, we're continuing to push and support the Recover Act.
Absolutely. You know, Bill, I, you know, number one, being a former federal employee, I had a top secret clearance because of my job. I know that once that information goes into the database, it stays there for, I think it's 75 years or something like that. So I know my information was in that database. I don't know if my information is part of the information they got hacked, but this is something that, you know, you have to be aware of. We need to be aware of. And quite frankly, it happened to OPM. It had to happen to the Postal Service. This is happening. My question is this more than just hackers trying to, for financial gain? Is this somebody trying to figure out who all the people with top secret clearances are here in the United States?
That very well could be. You know, that exact concern has been expressed by many IT folks in the federal community. We just don't know what, you know, what the intent was of these hackers, whether they're going to use this to, you know, like you say, for financial gain. There's speculation that certainly, getting the identities of people that have top secret clearances could put those people at risk of being, you know, approached by you know, a foreign government or something, and possibly, for example, blackmailed into working for that government, or, you know, turning over secrets and information. And, I mean, you know, it's, the list is kind of endless. So, yeah, it's what's concerning is, you know, we don't know what we don't know, and we don't know, you know, when or if that information is ever going to be used. But the point is, you know, the fact that it's fallen into somebody's hands to only ensure, offer insurance for a limited period of time, or you know, credit and identity theft protection for a limited period of time, doesn't make any sense. Once that information falls into the hands, it can be used, you know, forever.
Yeah, absolutely. So stay on top of them, because this kind of thing, you know, it's happened. It's got to be addressed. The protections have to go out there.
Absolutely.
And hey, listen, Bill, we're going to take a short break. We'll come back. We'll talk some more about what's going on, okay?
All right.
Fantastic. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Labor's Talk Radio. Hello, welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Labor's Talk Radio. Thank you for tuning in. We appreciate you hanging out with us for the afternoon, that's for sure. Join me now from Washington, D.C. and the National Federation of Federal Employees. Bill Dugan. Bill, welcome back.
Thanks.
Always a pleasure, Bill. Always a pleasure. We appreciate it. So you guys have been fighting the good fight with the information that was stolen from OPM and getting federal employees the protections that they need. So, you know, wage theft is not an issue, and I'm sure that your folks and everybody else is appreciating that. What else are you guys working on right now?
Well, the other big issue that we're working on right now is tied to legislation that the House just passed that affects employees that work for the Veterans Administration. As we all know, and I think I talked a little bit about this the last time I was on, we all know about, you know, all of that headline grabbing that happened with where we had some bad managers in the VA that were putting veterans on wait lists to receive medical services and to be seen by doctors and specialists, et cetera. And, you know, once that all got uncovered, obviously those managers were dealt with. But the problem was that there was so much outrage in members in Congress that they decided to take their to take their outrage and direct that towards all of the rest of the employees in the Veterans Administration. And so what they've done is they have passed legislation that basically takes away all much of the due process rights of all Veteran Administration employees. It significantly impedes whistleblower protection for these folks. It's going to decimate the morale of the workforce. These folks have become essentially like at-will employees as a result of this legislation.
Right. And Bill, here's one thing, or a couple things I got to say about this. First of all, as a veteran, and I'm saying this as a veteran, somebody who's been inside the VA hospital system, okay? Number one, the average rank-and-file person that is working in the VA hospitals had nothing to do with this.
Absolutely.
And if it was not for a rank-and-file person and their union and the backing of their union and as a whistleblower, a lot of this would not have come to light.
That's absolutely correct.
Okay? So now what they're doing is, here's the deal, folks, and I'm going to say this to you and I'm going to say this to you again. The people working in the VA hospitals oftentimes are veterans themselves, and they do it because they care. Because they want to continue to serve themselves and other veterans in their communities. And I'm going to say this. You don't get the quality and caliber of people working at the VA hospital for the pittance that they're getting paid. Any one of them could go to any other hospital and get paid more. In addition to this, you are going after the very people that identified the problem, who worked to rectify the problem, and you're making sure through this legislation and this defunding of the Veterans Hospital that it is going to be more difficult for those people to do their job effectively. And Congress is encouraging people not to come up forward and say anything. They are not encouraging whistleblowers, and they are not encouraging people to do their job. And Bill, this is so counterproductive that myself and many other people, and don't believe me, go ask the VFW, go ask the American Legion, go ask any veterans organization you want. This is one of the worst decisions that Congress could have ever made.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, they're as you point out, they're taking their anger and their frustration out on the wrong group of employees. The other thing that's resulting here is they're doing this under the guise of saying that it's necessary to do this in order to eliminate poor performance in the Veterans Administration. That absolutely is just not true. You know, the VA fired about 2,600 employees last year for poor performance. So I don't know how, making the whole workforce at will is going to help them to fire more people. I mean, they already have a track record of, when they identify people as poor performers, if they give them an opportunity to improve, if they don't, they fire them. I mean, what more needs to be done?
When the federal government was standing up the Department of Homeland Security, they came out with this cockamamie thing. Oh, well, federal employees are fired at X percentage versus people in the public sector that are fired at a higher percentage. So obviously we're not firing enough federal employees.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, now what about this whole deal about, oh, we go out and actively recruit veterans because they do a better job, they're dedicated, they care. We go out and hire family members of veterans because they do the same thing. We go out and we recruit the best and the brightest we can find. Yes, we know the paycheck is not as big as it would be in the private sector, but we find people that really care about the job.
That's absolutely right. The two biggest agencies in the federal government that hire veterans are the Veterans Administration and the Department of Defense. And the Senate has introduced language into the National Defense Authorization Act bill that does essentially the same thing to Department of Defense employees as what this House bill is doing to the VA employees. So we've got a Senate that is taking out its anger and frustration about what happened in the Veterans Administration, but instead of targeting, you know, if you want to target somebody, fine, target somebody in the VA, but they're not even targeting people in the same department. They're taking their anger and frustration out on DOD employees and essentially have language in the NDAA that replicates much of what is in this House bill. So, you know, the problem that we've got here is if both of these pieces of legislation pass Congress and end up on the president's desk, and if for some reason he was forced or, you know, ended up signing this, we would essentially have more than half of the total workforce in the federal government as at-will employees. And then we know what's going to happen. You know, the Congress will say, well, okay, so we've got, you know, more than half of the workforce is at will. We might as well make the rest of the workforce at will as well, and the rest of the rights away from all the rest of the federal employees that work in all the other agencies.
Yeah, you know, and
with this,
Bill, I got to tell you, I'm really cynical about this, and I think this is just a part of the effort to turn the VA hospital into a for-profit thing, and try and get rid of DOD civilians and put DOD contractors in their place. And I cannot think of any way better to do a disservice to our active duty and reserve and National Guard components of the military and our veterans all at one time.
You're absolutely right. I mean, you know, so if they do shrink the workforce, the very people that they're going to be getting rid of, a large majority of those folks that are going to be losing their jobs are veterans. And, you know, I would argue that, you know, part of the contract that we made with these folks when they signed up and when they went overseas or wherever they went to defend this nation, part of the contract that we had with them was when they came back that we would, number one, that we would take care of their health needs, and number two, that we would do our damnedest to, you know, reintegrate them back into the community. And part of that reintegration has to be finding, you know, jobs that pay a living wage, and that's what the DOD and the VA, by and large, have been employing large numbers of these vets. When those jobs go away, where are these people going to go for jobs that are going to pay a living wage, and they're going to be able to use the skills that they learned in the military, in their military service, in order to continue to serve the people of this country?
Bill, they don't care about that, and I hate to say it, but long and short, if they can make a buck at it, that's what they're going to try and do. Hey, listen, we've got to get going, Bill. How do we find out more about you and the National Federation of Federal Employees?
Go to our website, www.nffe.org.
And, Bill, do me a favor, stay on the line as we transition into break. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio.